Are you a Hawkeye fan living in Story County? Do you feel isolated, like you're alone in a maze of red? Well, you're not the only one. And that's why we here at StoryCounty.news have launched a brand new section of our website, From the Hawkeye of the Storm, which will feature our weekly podcast, Brada's Branded Thoughts, as well as other Hawkeye-related content for all you Story County residents who bleed black and gold, or if you live in Western Iowa, Eastern Iowa, or somewhere else other than Ames and you're a Hawkeye fan. We'd love your support. All of our content is free. So again, give our Facebook page a follow, give it a like, and give our Twitter page a follow as well. @FromTheHawkeye, @FromTheHawkeye on Twitter. The more likes, the more follows, the more support we get, the more content we can continue to push out. And it's all free. It's From the Hawkeye of the Storm, hosted by StoryCounty.news for the best Hawkeye content in the area. Week 153 of Brada's Branded Thoughts here at From the Hawkeye of the Storm, and we are talking brackets. I'm joined by another hoops junkie, as we introduced him yesterday. Jared Barger is with us again for the second straight day. We talked instant reaction to the brackets yesterday that were released at around 5 o'clock Central Time after an overtime finish between the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Fighting Illini of Illinois. And now we've had some time to digest and sort of percolate on the bracket release. And Jared and I both have our brackets. We're going to break them down and make some predictions for these games this weekend, the first two rounds, and even look ahead past this opening weekend and give our favorites for the Final Four in the tournament. You ready for this, Jared?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, so we're not going to walk in a waste of time. Let's get right down to it. Again, the brackets were released yesterday. The overall number one seeds, if you didn't catch the release yesterday, Gonzaga is the overall number one. You've got Baylor at 2, Illinois at 3, and Michigan at 4. But they're all the number one seeds. So let's start out with my bracket. We will start out with my bracket, and we'll go to the West region. And actually, let's start with your bracket, Jared. Let's start with your bracket. I'm going to get mine sure. Sent over to you here, which I didn't do before we started recording. So I apologize for that. Let's start out with your bracket here. You've got Gonzaga over their play-in opponent, which will be either Norfolk State or Appalachian State, and you've got them playing the Missouri Tigers in the round of 32. Mm-hmm. You can call that an upset, a 9 or over an 8. What was your line of thinking on your pick on Missouri there?
I know Oklahoma was very high at one point, but so was Missouri. And I think the SEC is very competitive, even more so than the Big 12 this year. And I've got a good feeling about Missouri in that game. Some of these in these first round, you just got to go with your gut, and I feel like that's a game for Missouri to take.
Missouri, we talked about it yesterday. Missouri, really nice start to the season. Games wins over, a win over Illinois, which was obviously their best win of the season. Looking back, I expected them to be a bit higher than a 9. So you know that's certainly a. That's going to be a challenge for Oklahoma. The Sooners, on the other hand, I kind of look at this the opposite way, and I know we're going to get to my bracket here in a minute, but you have a little bit more respect for the SEC than I do. I think I'm a little higher on the Big 12, honestly.
Yeah. It's tough. They're similar. I mean, there's a lot of good teams at the top in both. We could go through team by team, but that's for a different time. But yeah, I have to say I like Missouri. Looking at their schedule, it seems like even when they've lost to their SEC opponents, it's been close. They lost to LSU in the last game of the regular season by just 6. They did beat Alabama in February. Yeah. They lost to Arkansas by 5 in overtime. They had a pretty ugly loss by 21 points or 31 points to Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about an Iowa fan, and as you look down, and of course, we've got our bracket here posted on our screen here.
when you look down at our at Iowa section, and of course we're biased as Iowa guys, there are opportunities for Gonzaga to lose. I mean, I think yes. you and I would both agree. Oklahoma's had some solid wins. You talked about what Missouri's already been able to accomplish. They've beaten a one and a two seed already. They've beaten Alabama and they've beaten Illinois. So to be a nine seed and have those types of marquee wins, obviously that indicates a bit of a roller coaster. But who's to say they can't go out and beat a Gonzaga? I wouldn't put it past them. Now, I'll give you a little sneak preview. I don't have them beating Gonzaga, and neither do you. Let's move on down. Creighton and UC Santa Barbara. UC Santa Barbara, a team that plays in the Big West, a lot of other California teams. They're not real big. Sometimes you get some of those Big West schools that have a really big seven-footer, and they do not have that. They do not have that luxury this year. Creighton coming off a pretty sad loss in the Big East championship round. You've got the 5-12 upset. What led you to make that pick?
Well, I think this one's more about Creighton than it is about US or UCSB. Like we talked about yesterday, just what they're dealing with their coaching situation, and obviously sometimes things aren't as they seem. We don't really know the whole story, but there's a little uncertainty there, and they're not exactly playing their best basketball right now. They haven't been in the Big East tournament, so I think this is, and you look at, you know, a 22-4 record is very good, and obviously the Santa Barbara earned their spot in the tournament by playing well, and so I just, that's one of those 5-12s, you feel better about rolling with the 12 seed in that one.
And you know that there's always going to be a 5-12, it seems like there's always a 5-12 upset somewhere along the way.
4-13, 5-12, there's got to be at least one.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I will say I did not pick UC Santa Barbara, but again, we'll get to that.
And I didn't at first either, but I went back and forth on it. But then I've got them playing Virginia over Ohio.
Yes, you've got Virginia over Ohio. Virginia's still dealing with some COVID issues. I saw a graphic today. Kansas left for Indianapolis today. There was speculation on if Kansas and Virginia would be able to play in the tournament. It was interesting. The committee seated them, I think, appropriately, but they also put them in the section of the draw to where they don't have to play until Saturday. To me, that's obvious that the committee made an extra day allowance for those two teams to make sure they were healthy. But Kansas, again, leaving today for Indianapolis, theoretically without one of their best players, couple of their best players potentially. We just don't know the status of Virginia, but I take it that this means that you think Virginia will be good to go come Saturday.
I do, and I saw something this morning that they've basically cleared all the steps. Now, again, like you say, there's a possibility they won't be at full strength, but I believe whatever Virginia's got going on, as long as they're able to play, it's not going to be enough to have them be upset. I think they're still going to take that game.
And Evan Mobley and USC, you've got them advancing over the winner of Wichita State Drake. By the way, who do you think what do you think in the Wichita State Drake game?
Man, I know I'm kind of glad we don't really have to pick these because that one is like 50-50, but I would have to go with Drake. I just feel like they're going to be really motivated. They were undefeated there at one point, and then they did lose some games late in the season, but I think they're just happy to be in the tournament. I think they're going to be pretty motivated, and I could definitely see Drake getting that first round bid, but USC is definitely one of the better teams in the Pac-12, if not the best, and I don't think Drake's going to be enough to knock them out in the first round.
Keep in mind, Wichita State, you know, this is, we had this discussion the other night. This is one of the things that you've been working on with your sister for years, right? I work on it with my wife all the time, trying to highlight just the awesome storylines behind some of these teams in the tournament and in sports in general. There's always teams that you really want to root for, and then there's teams that sometimes you want to root against. I think Wichita State is a team, and Drake, both of those teams are teams you want to root for. Wichita State dealing with Greg Marshall being fired over the offseason, for reportedly abusing his players. And yet they've come back with an interim head coach who now has been given the head coaching position permanently. I think that's a great storyline. And if they beat Drake, I mean, there's so many reasons if you're an Iowa fan to root for the underdog in this part of the bracket. And so I think the winner of that game, that's going to be a fun game. And that's going to be a great game. What is that, on Thursday? On True TV. Is it True TV for the first four? I think it's two different channels. But yeah, that's a heck of a contest. But Evan Mobley, look for that kid. He is going to be a guy. I could see USC making a run to the Sweet 16. Again, depending on availability, because right below that matchup, you've got Kansas and Eastern Washington. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem like you have any hesitancy in picking the Jayhawks to get out of the first round.
I do not. And the 16 seed play-in games are on True TV, but the Drake and then the UCLA games are on TBS.
Okay. TBS and True TV for Thursday.
Are
those games overlapping, by the way? I know we talked about
that. They will be. Yeah, they will be a little bit. It'll be 4:10 start for the Texas Southern game, 5:30 for the Drake, 7:40 for Appalachian State, and then 9:00 for the UCLA and Michigan State. So they will be overlapping a little bit, yeah.
So any issues for Kansas in that first game? I mean, it sounds like they may be down a player or two.
Again, just not enough for me to pick against them. And even if they aren't full strength, but I kind of went at this just assuming they are going to be good to go. I just want to give these higher seeds the benefit of the doubt that even if they are missing a player, they just have that next man up mentality and they're still going to show up and still going to be tough to beat.
Oregon, Virginia Commonwealth, two teams that have very interesting resumes. If you take a look at Oregon and VCU and Ken Pomeroy's rankings, and I'm going to pull this up here as we're talking. Very interesting because VCU, these aren't very balanced teams. VCU has, according to Ken Pomeroy's adjusted defensive efficiency rankings, they are the 12th best defense in the country, but the 117th best offense in the country. Compare that with their opponent, Oregon. Oregon is sitting at 16 in the country on offense, 76 in defense. So these are literally strengths going up against strengths and weaknesses going up against weaknesses. Mm-hmm. You still are taking the Oregon Ducks. A lot of people have been talking about how they were underseeded in the NCAA tournament. What type of a game do you foresee Oregon dealing with against the Commodores?
Yeah, I haven't seen a ton of VCU basketball. I think I only watched a game or two with them the regular season, but I saw some of their conference tournament. And yeah, you're right, they play good defense, but Oregon's been a really hot team lately. Obviously, they suffered kind of an, some would say, unexpected loss against Oregon State. But before then, I mean, they were red hot. They'd won a lot of games in a row against, granted, unranked Pac-12 opponents. But still, I've got a feeling that Oregon's going to stay true to themselves and probably put up some points. I think they're going to score just too many points. Probably somewhere in the 70s and VCU in the 60s.
So you've got Oregon advancing, and then, of course, you've got Iowa advancing over Grand Canyon. And I want to talk a little bit about this. You know, we're not previewing this game formally, but I do want to talk about that game because I go back to Saturday evening. You and I were talking, and you kind of played off the idea of Grand Canyon being a threat to Iowa. Of course, at the time, we had no idea that they would be Iowa's opponent. But I told you at the time, you got to give me credit on this. I told you, I said, mm-hmm. Grand Canyon's a 15 and Iowa's a 2. That's a 1-in-4 chance. This is who they got matched up against. Any more hesitancy now that you've had a day to kind of digest that matchup as far as what Grand Canyon can bring to the table to offset Iowa's strengths?
Right. Well, I think Fran, I don't know if you saw any of the interviews, but Fran was talking yesterday about, well, first of all, when he was with Notre Dame, he personally recruited the head coach of Grand Canyon, which is just an interesting tidbit. But Fran got asked a question like something about what's the meaning of a 2CDU. Basically, he said nothing. And he was talking about how he doesn't think there's any really such thing as an upset in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, there is to a lot of people.
You know, Fran, I tell you, Fran doesn't care. It doesn't seem to care much for Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register. And I like Mark. I think Mark seems like a nice guy. He asked some interesting questions. I don't think Fran likes his questions because that was another Mark Emmert question.
Because then somebody else asked basically the same question but rephrased, and he gave them a 2-minute answer. But all he gave,
I like how Mark said so. The question, like he said, was what does a 2-seed mean to you? And Fran said nothing, and Mark said not a thing. No.
Yeah,
it's just you know this. He's had a lot of those press conferences this year where he doesn't like a question. He just shuts it down right away. But he's right. I mean, you got to have that mindset. Listen, this is a team. And again, Bryce Drew, remember him from, what was it, 98 or whenever he hit that game-winning shot in the NCAA tournament for Valparaiso. It's an iconic NCAA shot. And now he's coaching a team in Grand Canyon that moved to Division I just, 8 years ago, something like that. I mean, haven't been in Division I very long. And Dan Marley, former Phoenix Sun star, was the head coach. Initially had some success. Grand Canyon kind of took a dip and they got rid of him, brought in Bryce Drew, and he's brought him right back to the promised land now that they're in the WAC. Listen, my issue, and I talked about it on our 2-minute drill over the weekend, my issue with the NCAA tournament, and I wouldn't call it an issue per se, but it can be an issue and it can also be a benefit, is it's all about matchups. And when you look at what Grand Canyon can bring here, we've got a 7-footer from Denmark, who's their leading scorer, scores about 15, pulls down about 10 boards a game. All right. And then you have their second leading scorer, who's a 6'10 freak from Italy, who also is skilled and can shoot the three. Tell me, this is a team that is going to test Iowa's ability to match up with size. And that seems crazy to say a team in the WAC is going to cause problems from a physical standpoint for a Big Ten team, but it will be interesting to see what lineups Fran goes with. He's got a week here to sort of game plan. I mean, logically, you and I, or I shouldn't say logically, emotionally, you and I think both want to see more of Josh Ogundele, even if it's a minute or two in a game. I certainly think Mitzgaard, their big 7-footer, is a guy that, you know, potentially Ogundele could play a couple minutes against, because he's not a guy, I don't think he shot a three all year, at least he hasn't made a three.
He's 0-4. He's 0-4.
Okay, so he shot. So he's not a threat from outside. So he's not going to pull Josh away from the paint. Now, Labor is a guy who Alessandra Labor. He's a guy who can make the three as well. So we'll see. I mean, maybe you put Keegan and maybe you slide Chris Murray in there, and they give up a couple inches. But there are guys who can certainly guard the perimeter. And certainly Keegan is athletic enough to be able to make up for that lack of size. So it'll be interesting to see what Fran does with the lineups in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Levers shooting just 39% from three. So he can make them. He's made 30 of them this year.
And they also have a point guard who's, I believe, 5'10". Am I right in that, saying that? I think they have their starting point guard is
5'11".
5'11".
Javon Blackshear Jr.
Yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean he's the next Carson Edwards, but you wonder, Jordan Bohannon, of course, we know his defensive struggles on ball.
I'd like to see Toussaint get some minutes on him for sure.
Yeah. And I go back to Aaron Ulis. If Toussaint gets in foul trouble, I still think Ulis is a guy who can come in there and provide you good defensive minutes.
You know, I can't remember what game it was. There was one particular game where Ulis was just getting a ton of minutes, and he hadn't even really played at that point. He's way more under control on offense than Joe Toussaint is. I mean, I hate to say it, but
he is.
I'd rather see him, honestly. His defense is good, and, you know, I love Toussaint, and I really want to see him get it figured out, but right now you just can't trust him to run the offense.
Yeah, so. I agree with you. He's had great moments. I think I've been critical of Fran at times this year for having such a short leash for Joe. I think he needs to understand that he can make a mistake or two and not fear being pulled. There have been times where I've seen him make a turnover, commit a turnover, and he's out. And I think Fran now is to the point where he makes two turnovers, you're out. which, again, I don't know that that's a line in the sand, but usually things like this, like the 2,000 year out thing for Fran in the first half, Fran is a type of coach where he's got rules and he's not going to budge. So I wonder if there is sort of that unwritten or unsaid rule with a guy with a point guard committing turnovers. But I also see Connor McCaffrey, Jordan Bohannon commit turnovers. And Connor, let's be honest, we all talked about how great Connor was at not committing turnovers. He's committed more turnovers this past month than I think I've ever seen him commit. Now, I'm not saying that teams are figuring out his ability to pass into the post, but I just think that Joe Toussaint deserves a longer leash, especially like you said, you get a 5'11 point guard in here who's going to probably test Bohannon's lateral quickness defensively. I think it's an opportunity for Joe Toussaint to gain some confidence. And then, of course, they're going to need him. I mean, if you're going to make a run to the Elite Eight Final Four, they're going to need him.
Yeah, big time.
Hint, hint, they get back in a game against Gonzaga. That was his best game of the year, with the exception of maybe Ohio State in Columbus less than a month ago. That game against Gonzaga, Joe T was huge. Jalen Suggs is a guy who nobody else on this team can really match up with, but Joe Toussaint has the athleticism to do so. So, it makes me nervous. Let's look at my West region here. I don't know if you got that.
I did. Yeah.
Gonzaga, I don't see them having any problems with that opening round opponent. Listen, and what we have to understand as Iowa fans too, as we look at the tournament, we're going to enjoy watching every game, but here's the deal. These brackets, ain't nobody going to have a perfect bracket. And I think you and I would both agree as Iowa fans, and I think the majority of the fan base would agree, we'd much rather be incorrect on the bracket if it means better results for an Iowa run. And so we have ample reason to be rooting for against Gonzaga all the way. I don't think Gonzaga is going to have any issues in a 116 game. I just think they've got way too much athleticism, way too much talent, size, skilled big men. Oklahoma, Missouri. I've got Oklahoma. That was a tough one for me. This is going to be an excellent game. I think these are two teams that are very well matched. But Oklahoma's playing well right now. If you look at Oklahoma, let me pull up their schedule. First of all, they played a tough schedule because they are in the Big 12. A win at West Virginia back in February. They did lose by four to Oklahoma State here a couple weeks ago, lost by four to Texas, and lost by four to Oklahoma State on a different game. You take those three losses out, and a bad loss at Kansas State. I understand that. But they won at home against Alabama, who, of course, is a two seed. They won at Texas this year. They won at home against Kansas. And again, beat Virginia at West Virginia and at home. So beat them twice. Beat Texas Tech at home. This is a team with really good wins. They've got a couple losses that are kind of head scratchers. They lost by 22 to Xavier. Again, that loss against Kansas State doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So it's a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde with Oklahoma. I don't think you're going to really know who you're going to get until that game on Saturday. So that's going to be an entertaining one. I want whoever is more capable of causing problems for Gonzaga to get through that opening round game.
Yes, and for some reason, I just feel like that's what I was thinking too. I just felt like Missouri might have a better chance at Gonzaga because they're very similar teams. Oklahoma and Missouri, very similar teams, because they started off, you know, they were in the top 25, even top 10, and they looked really good, and then they fell off, kind of like Iowa. Iowa got out of it a lot faster, but they fell off, and now they're on the rise again. So
College basketball is not a – I mean, it is a roller coaster of a season as far as momentum, and
yeah.
I mean, in-game, it's all about, runs and whatnot, and then you could say the same thing about the season as a whole. Now, 5-12 in the West region. I'm with you. I thought long and hard about this matchup between Creighton and UC Santa Barbara. I just don't see the wins for Santa Barbara. If you look at their schedule over the course of the past three and a half months, they haven't beaten anybody. All right, they haven't beaten anybody. And as bad as Creighton looked against Georgetown, that looked like just a determined Georgetown Hoya squad. And Greg McDermott's been there too long. I think he's got the support of Marcus Zagorowski and his family. I know after Greg said what he said that wasn't received really well. And it was a stupid thing to say. I mean, it's just not sensitive to say that. And he couldn't have possibly thought that was going to do over well.
But yeah.
I think that Marcus Zagorowski and his family have moved on. And Zagorowski is the leader of that team, both verbally and on the court. So I just don't buy that they're going to go into collapse mode. And again, I don't think UC Santa Barbara has the size to cause, you know, they don't have that one guy who's going to be a mismatch. And I just think, I think Creighton advances. Looking at the 4-11 game, this is where I have my first upset. I've got Ohio. You know, Virginia, there's question marks this week, obviously, with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what Virginia does, obviously known under Tony Bennett for years as a defensive juggernaut. I mean, look at Ohio right now. This is going to be interesting. This is going to be a really low scoring game. And if it's a high scoring game, I'll be shocked. Ohio right now has the 29th best offense in the country. But they have the 174th best defense in the country. So actually, I'm wrong on that. I had those numbers switched around. Ohio is actually going up against the strength of Virginia. So I missed that one. I missed the mark on that. But I still think, again, this is a team that Virginia hasn't seen. I mean, to have the 29th most efficient offense in the country out of the MAC, I think that's extremely impressive. We saw what they did against Illinois earlier this year. Illinois is a team with a lot of athletes. They matched Illinois' athleticism. That was at Illinois. So, I think Ohio wins that game. And listen, there's always going to be – that's the thing. There's always going to be upsets. So I almost feel obligated to pick against my mind at times.
Yeah.
I could see Ohio being a Cinderella of sorts. As you can see, I don't have them getting past the second round, but I think the Bobcats can take it round one. USC, Wichita State, Drake. This one I went back and forth on as well because I think USC is good enough with Evan Mobley to make a run, even to the Sweet 16. But I still think, like I told you, Wichita State and Drake, they're both tremendous stories. And they just, I mean, they got two excellent coaches. Obviously, Darian DeVries has been terrific down in Des Moines. And again, Wichita State, they're playing for a lot. I mean, they're playing for their name. They're playing for their new head coach. He's already gotten a contract because of what he's done this season. So I think Drake, I think if Drake wins that game, I think they can beat USC and certainly Wichita State. That's a program that knows how to win games and get to Final Fours. So I can see the 11 over the 6 there. And then Kansas, Eastern Washington, I didn't really pause on that one, especially given the fact that Kansas is traveling today. I think they're going to be fine. We'll see if they – I believe – let me look this up real quick. If I'm not mistaken, they had two players, I believe, that were out with COVID. Was it David McCormick was one of the players that wasn't traveling? And if it is, that is a big issue. Three players not traveling with the Jayhawks.
Three players.
Okay. So, I mean, that does make it – I don't know a whole lot about Eastern Washington. Did a little research on them. David McCormick will not travel. Tristan Inaruna will not travel either. And I don't know who the third player is. But that is going to be a storyline, because that is potentially Iowa's Sweet 16 opponent. They are the highest seed left in Iowa's section of the draw. So, Iowa theoretically could match up with the Jayhawks in the round of 16, but I've got Kansas advancing. Oregon VCU, you know, this is another game where I look at it and I say, everybody's talking about Oregon. Last night, especially after the matchups were announced, everybody was talking about Oregon, how they were underseeded, how Chris Duarte is playing great basketball. By the way, Will Richardson, averaging 11 or 12 a game on that Oregon Ducks team, was on that Oregon Ducks team. He's the only guy left from the 2018-19 team that lost to Iowa mm-hmm. in Madison Square Garden. Interestingly yep. enough,
with
that
Bol
game,
Bol. Yeah.
Garza, yeah, Bol Bol, Garza played in that game. Connor McCaffrey played in that game. Jordan Bohannon played in that game. And I believe I maybe, oh, Joe Wieskamp played in that game. So Iowa's got like four or five guys who played against Oregon. Oregon's got one guy who played against Iowa. So that's, you know, who knows? I mean, especially on a short prep. On a short prep, I think that helps. That's advantage Iowa.
I want to see that matchup in the second round. I do.
And Dana Altman's a great coach. I mean, Dana Altman's is a terrific coach.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon was in the Elite Eight just 4 years ago or something like that. Yeah.
Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah.
He was terrific 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's awesome now. I don't know. I mean, that's a scary game. This people were asking me, what's your overall feelings on the bracket? I had someone ask me that last night, and I said, I think it's a medium draw for Iowa. As you can see, I've got Iowa beating Grand Canyon. I'm not going to delve into that any more than we already have. But I think it's a medium draw. I think it could have been a lot worse. It could have been better. I think Oregon's dangerous, but at the same time, they've got a potential matchup with Kansas, who could be dealing with some COVID issues in the Sweet 16, and a Gonzaga team that, you know, they lost to, but they're familiar with. And, you know, potentially you could get an opportunity to not have to face Kansas. And literally, I mean, Kansas has, again, I don't want to keep going back to COVID issues, but I mean, that draw opens up if Kansas is out. If anything happens to Kansas those first two rounds, USC, Wichita State, Drake, Eastern Washington, I like Iowa big time over all of those teams. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to see Iowa Drake, because I feel like that would be Matt Gaten's an assistant coach for the Bulldogs now. Brady Ellingson is on that staff as well, former Hawkeye. That'd be a weird matchup. It'd just make me feel uneasy. But I think it's a decent draw for Iowa. Not great, not terrible. All right, while we're here, let's go ahead and we'll go to my Sweet 16 in the West. Gonzaga, Oklahoma. I've got the Zags winning that game. Again, doesn't mean that I won't be rooting for the Sooners, but I've got the Zags. Again, there's too much athleticism, too much talent. They're trying to accomplish what no team since Bobby Knight's Hoosiers did back in, what, the 80s. I've got the Zags moving on. Ohio, Creighton. I think Ohio, again, they've got what it takes to match up with Virginia, but eventually I think if Greg McDermott can seize control of that team, which I think he probably does, get a win against UC Santa Barbara, kind of hush the critics, I think Creighton moves on to face Gonzaga. Wichita State or Drake taking on Kansas. By the way, I'm picking Drake, so I think it'll be Drake and Kansas. That'll be a fantastic matchup. By the way, Kansas doesn't like seeing these small Iowa schools, as we know. That was that 2008 or whatever it was, the Ali Farouk Manesh three against Kansas in the Sweet 16 to beat the Jayhawks. So they'll have to go up against another small town Iowa school. But I think Kansas moves on, and they will face Iowa, who I think that's going to be a battle against Oregon. Oregon can spread Iowa out. They've got, again, Richardson, Chris Duarte's playing great. They're healthy now, finally. So they're underseeded. I think Iowa, though, wins that game, and they face the Jayhawks in the Sweet 16. Your thoughts on those picks?
Yeah, well, I just got to say, I know we're going to get there. Our right side is almost identical. We were thinking a lot of the same things on the right side of the bracket.
You know, our brackets, if you look at you and I brackets back to back, there are some major, major differences. And then there are some major, major similarities. And I'm not just talking about, oh, we both picked the three seed. I'm saying you seeing teams that make a run. You have a couple teams like Arkansas. We'll look at that region here in a little bit. You have a lot more faith in Arkansas than I do.
I like them just flying under the radar, because nobody really views them as a threat. And it's also partially because I've got Utah State over Texas Tech in that game, which, again, we'll get there. But
you and I are also really big on Texas. So I'm just saying there are some similarities and some stark differences. Let's go to your Sweet 16 here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say Gonzaga over Mizzou. Again, same with you. Well, obviously, we know who we're going to be rooting for, but, and then because I've got Santa Barbara moving on, if it was Creighton and Virginia, I would honestly probably take Creighton, but just because I have Creighton losing as a first round exit, then I'd take Virginia over Santa Barbara by default. And then, yeah.
So you're really low. So you're not that high in. You said you'd take Creighton over Virginia?
Yes, just based on like that matchup. Like, okay. I'm saying if they win in the first round,
yeah,
and prove me wrong, then at that point I would say, okay, well then they'll probably keep winning, but
right, okay.
Yeah. And then yeah, I've got Kansas again over USC, kind of similar to you. You have over Drake, but and then Iowa, obviously, I pretty much agree with everything you said about Oregon, Iowa. And then that leaves so I went on a limb and I say if Virginia's healthy and able to play, they're another team that got beat by Gonzaga earlier in the season, yep, which I think is going to help. I don't think Gonzaga wants to play Virginia or Iowa because they'd probably rather play a team that they haven't played yet.
I would think so. People were talking yesterday about how Gonzaga's got the easiest path to the Final Four. In fact, that was a question that Luka was asked in his press conference yesterday, mm-hmm, which I find interesting that the committee did put Gonzaga in a bracket with three teams that they've already played.
I think Illinois has the easiest path to the Final Four. I don't see a way that Illinois doesn't make it there. I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
But
so you've got Iowa beating Oregon.
Yeah, I do.
And you don't see any issues from an athletic standpoint for Iowa to match up there.
Not enough to pick Oregon, no. I feel like Iowa's really motivated too. Like we talked about, you know, Grand Canyon, obviously those lower seeds being really motivated, how that's scary. But I think Iowa's kind of almost flying under the radar too, because it's like, yeah, we know they're good, but I don't think anybody right now is scared about Iowa going to the Final Four. But if you think about it,
nobody picked him to the Final Four that I've seen. Nobody.
Yeah. If you think about
it. Except you.
Hey, my thinking is if they make it, obviously I'll be thrilled. I don't want to be the guy that didn't pick him.
The double win. I know what you mean. But yeah. See, I look at it. There's always that person. There's always the, I'm going to go all in. If they make the Final Four, I'm happy with my picks and I'm happy with my heart. I'm the guy who says, that's all right. If they don't make the Final Four, at least I'm happy with my bracket.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, I think they're really motivated because if you think about it, last year didn't really happen. I mean, they had a regular season, but from a...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
From a, like, now that we're talking about this through the eyes of March Madness, last year didn't happen. So the last thing they remember is coming back against Tennessee and then falling short in overtime. And that's a bad taste. So I think these guys are going to be like, all right, this is the last year we got Garza. This is the last year we got Bohannon. You know, Wieskamp's status is yet to be determined, but I think we're going to see the best Iowa basketball of all year in March.
And you've got Iowa over Kansas to meet Virginia.
Yes.
In the Elite Eight.
Yes.
So let's look at my Sweet 16 here. I've got Gonzaga beating Creighton. I'm trying to look at this logically from a standpoint of personnel, and I just don't see how Creighton matches up with the personnel that Gonzaga throws to the table. But I have faith in Greg McDermott.
But did BYU match up that well? You know,
they didn't. And I think here's the deal. I wonder too how much I kind of thought Gonzaga would lose at some point
in the regular
season.
Yeah,
I think sometimes you get complacent if you're playing in the WCC all year and you're not playing marquee teams. I just don't know how Gonzaga could get complacent now. I will say this. They could be rusty now, but BYU tested them. So I think that beat a little of that rust off, and I think Gonzaga makes the Elite Eight. And I do have Iowa over Kansas. That matchup scares me, kind of like the Oregon matchup scares me. I mean, there's some – I don't want to call Oregon a blue blood, but there are some blue bloods in Iowa section when you look at Kansas, when you look at Gonzaga, and, you know, I don't want to say blue bloods, but perennial teams like Oregon, Creighton, and even Wichita State, there are some perennial contenders in this section. So, again, I go back to my original thing about this draw. I think it's a decent draw, not great. So, Elite Eight winner, you've got Iowa moving on. What type of game do you see from Virginia and the Hawkeyes?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, obviously, we've got the – I think the Hawkeyes would match up okay because yeah, Virginia does play very good defense, but I think Iowa will be able to get shots off. They're probably going to do a good job of containing Garza and really zeroing in on him. But if they can have a good game from just everybody, their bench, everybody that's playing, if they're just constantly trying to read the defense and make cuts and just get easy baskets, just simplify the game and just get to the hoop, I think they can. It'll be a low-scoring game. I don't see Iowa putting up more than 70 points on Virginia, but if their defense keeps playing like it has been, I could see them winning a really close game in the 60s.
Kihei Clark's going to give Jordan Bohannon fits if that happens, similar to what we saw from Andre Curbelo. Now, Bohannon did have 20 points, but we saw Bohannon turn the ball over it.
You let Jordan Bohannon throw up 13 threes, he's probably going to hit a bunch of them, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a productive game.
I've got Iowa losing to Gonzaga. I wanted to go with my heart.
I know, it's just...
But my head just tells me Gonzaga is destined at least to get to the Final Four national title game. I go back to how I felt about them in December. They were clearly the best team, and they haven't given me reason not to think that. I'm high in Illinois, as you'll see, but I think Gonzaga wins that game. Now, I want to move. We kind of spent a little bit longer than we originally were going to on the West region simply because this is an Iowa podcast. Let's move over to Let's move down to the East region, and we'll start with your first round picks in the East region. Okay. Starting with Michigan.
Yeah, so I'll just go through quick. So Michigan, you know, no Livers, but I didn't really even look too much at either Texas Southern or St. Mary's. I'm just like, yeah, that's going to be a Michigan win. I mean, I've seen some of Texas Southern. They did impress me a little bit, but that's not going to be a problem for Michigan. I like LSU in this game because, like we've said, you know, I did look at the Bonnies. They are a very talented program, and to get a 9 seed is pretty impressive. I mean, you don't usually see those types of schools that high, but LSU, they just have enough offensive firepower that they're still going to win this game. And then probably the hottest pick, you know, for a 12 seed is Georgetown. But I don't want to pick against them right now. I mean, why would you? You know, they just knocked off everybody in the Big East, so why wouldn't they keep it going, I guess?
Yeah.
And then Florida State, that's pretty cut and dry. They're a really good ACC team, and Greensboro
coming off a loss to Georgia Tech, but I mean, their resume has been pretty impressive up until that point.
Yeah, they shouldn't have any problems there. Now, I like BYU a lot. I do. I loved how they played. It seems like every time they play Gonzaga, they've got a pretty good chance to beat them, which is kind of
true. They were seeded higher than I anticipated. I didn't think BYU would get a 6 seed.
Yeah, I don't know, but I like them. I like the way they play. They've got some shooters, and I see Michigan State winning that game against UCLA. I think they're happy. I forgot how high they were once ranked this year. I mean, they were in the top 15
preseason, early on, yeah.
And
everybody was talking about that win over Duke earlier, like, wow. And now Michigan State barely make the tournament. Yeah. Duke's out.
Right, that's crazy, but. But I see Michigan State winning, and originally I wanted to even put them into the second round. It's kind of risky.
You like the Cougars.
Yeah. Yep. And then Texas, we're both pretty high on them.
Although Abilene Christian, this is an interesting storyline. Abilene Christian is a Texas school. So I always think in these, you know, matchups of these small schools, like a Houston versus a Texas or an Abilene Christian versus a Texas or a UTEP versus a Texas, those are always intriguing games because there's definitely going to be a chip on the shoulder of the Purple People Eaters in that game.
They do always kind of – seems like when they're close together, they do give them some problems. But Maryland, I'm huge on the Big Ten. And they're a good team. They got beat up in the Big Ten. Again, different conference or just different year, they'd be a better team. I think they're seeded properly, and then Alabama, I like how they play. I think they're I don't know. They play a little bit better defense than LSU does, for sure.
Yeah.
And they're similar teams. Like, they matched up really well in that championship game. It was a lot of fun to watch. But Bama beat LSU in the regular season.
Badly.
Pretty handily, yeah.
Badly.
Yeah. And I think Alabama is kind of almost playing – yeah, kind of almost playing with a chip on their shoulder as well, just because, you know, Alabama's not a basketball school, really. The SEC just isn't a basketball usually it's, you know, you got Kentucky and Florida, but nobody really expected this. And
right.
They've just continued to play at a really high level the whole year, and they're champions of the SEC. So I think they're seeded properly. I think they deserve to get the two. And I don't see them getting upset by Iona.
Go ahead and run through the rest of your region here and all the way down to the Final Four.
Okay.
And then we'll go to mine.
So I went out on a limb, and by the way, I picked three of the four number one seeds to lose before the Sweet 16.
Well, this season
Elite Eight.
This season is part of 2020, so crazier things could happen.
You know, it just feels like it's going to be something unexpected is going to happen. Just yeah, so I like LSU. I think LSU with their offensive firepower against Michigan, probably without Livers in the second round. You know, we were talking about if they go further, that Livers might rejoin the team, but I don't think Livers will be playing by then, and then LSU doesn't necessarily have the size to match up with Hunter Dickinson, but I think with their athletic guards, I think they pull that upset against Michigan and advance to the Sweet 16. And then I think Georgetown, their Cinderella story kind of ends right there with Florida State.
I think Florida State's got a pretty good draw.
Yeah, they do. They do. And whether it's Colorado or Georgetown they face, I think Florida State's going to the Sweet 16 no matter what. I don't see that not happening. And Texas over BYU, not really much of a surprise. I like BYU, but Texas is, you know, played a lot of good basketball in the Big 12, and we thought they might be a 2 seed. Instead, they fall to the 3.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of difference there, but
yeah. I thought they were undefeated.
Bama over Maryland.
That'd be a game. Maryland plays defense.
I wanted to pick
a matchup of strength versus strength.
I wanted to pick, like, I know that one of the Big Ten teams, like, other than, you know, the top four, I feel like one of those other teams is going to make a run. Whether it's Michigan State, Purdue, Maryland, or Rutgers. I think Rutgers might have the best chance to make a run out of them. So, yeah.
Well, the thing about it is you talked about Alabama's defense. Their defense is really good. I mean, there's a reason why there's a 2 seed. They play off, but LSU doesn't play defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw that play out. So, Maryland, Alabama would be strength against strength, but would be interesting to see how, I mean, you know, Maryland had a problem with Iowa's offense. I don't know. We'll see. Does Maryland have enough shooters, enough scorers to be able to go up against what I think the number two overall defense in the country? That will be interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I think we've said it multiple times. It's all about matchups. LSU doesn't play defense, but because of what's going to happen, I could see them over Florida State. Just if they keep scoring a lot of points.
Got two SEC teams, and half of that Sweet 16 region is SEC and Sweet 16 for you.
Yep. That's true. And then that, I had it going to LSU and Texas for a spot in the Final Four. And I like Texas to come out of that region because I think they're the second best team in that region, and they might be the best with, you know, Michigan not being at full strength. So.
I agree with that. Absolutely. Let's look at mine with some variations, of course, but some similarities as well. I've got Michigan over Mount St. Mary's or Texas Southern. I've got the Bonnies taking down LSU. I think the Bonnies bring more offense than LSU's defense is going to be able to handle. They are really good. And if you look at St. Bonaventure, again, I like using KenPom. If you look at St. Bonaventure, right now they are 17 in total defense. So they will cause some problems for LSU's offense. I like the Bonnies to move on to the second round. Not enough, though, to take down Michigan. I'll mention that here in a second. I do think Patrick Ewing will get it done. Colorado's good, though. I mean, I think I'm a little bit – I think my pick there was more so Patrick Ewing and this team seem to be playing with house money, and I don't buy into the Pac-12 very much. But Colorado is right up there with Oregon for maybe being maybe the two best teams in the Pac-12. Florida State over UNC Greensboro, I'm with you. I don't see Florida State's loss to Georgia Tech means nothing to me, and I certainly don't think it meant anything to the committee. They win that game. I do have Michigan State beating UCLA and beating Florida State. I still think Tom Izzo, his ability to coach
BYU
in March, I think it's going to be a darn good game, and Michigan State plays BYU in that first round. And then Abilene Christian, Texas, I paused for a second. Honestly, I did. I advanced Texas, as you can see here in my region. I advanced Texas all the way to my Final Four. And then I went back and said, you know, Abilene Christian could pull this off. That's how crazy the bracket is. Like, I'm thinking, yeah, they're a Final Four team. That's why I said I agree with you. It's all about matchups. I could see them going to the Final Four, but I don't really think they could get beat by Abilene Christian. But Abilene Christian, they know how to play basketball. I'm telling you, this is not a team that success is not new to Abilene Christian. They have been really good ever since they moved to Division I, and even before then, they were really good. And then Maryland over UConn. People are high on UConn. They know how to win the tournament, but I like the Terrapins there. I do like Alabama over Iona, but it will be an interesting matchup between Nate Oates and Rick Pitino as far as the coaching carousel there. And then Michigan, St. Bonnie, that'll be a great game too. You'd hate to think that Michigan would have on their school history a loss to Appalachian State in football and a second round NCAA tournament loss to St. Bonaventure, but there'd be no embarrassment losing the Bonnies because they are legitimate. I do think Michigan is still – they're fine. I mean, look, they lose Livers. You've still got Wagner. Eli Brooks is playing great basketball. You've got Dickinson. You've got Shondi Brown. Somebody's going to step up there. I mean, they are still going to – that's why I think they could still make a Final Four without Livers if they get the right draw, especially say you play your first three rounds and then get Livers back.
Well, that if that then, were to happen –
that's a different – now we're talking champion. National title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The absolutely. Momentum of that, yeah.
I've got Florida State over Georgetown. I don't think eventually I think Georgetown's – I'm with you. I think their run kind of plays its runs its course. I've got Texas over Michigan State, but another marquee matchup between Izzo and the Longhorns. Maryland, Alabama, I've got Bama. But again, it will be an interesting game, so we've got the same matchup there. I've got Florida State beating Michigan, assuming Livers doesn't play. If Livers is back for that game, I would gladly take the Wolverines. But assuming he doesn't play, I think – the Seminoles' run or route to the Elite Eight is very good. And then I've got Texas, who I thought was underseeded, advancing to my Final Four. Let's move over to the Midwest region. Actually, let's go to the South. Let's go to the South. We'll go back to the top right of the bracket. We'll start with my first – let's just start with the first round. I've got Baylor over Hartford. Hartford, great story. I think this is their first tournament appearance in the history of that program. But they are running into a sledgehammer in the Baylor Bears. I've got Baylor moving on. I think North Carolina's size will match up very well with Wisconsin's size, but the difference is more athleticism for North Carolina and a lot of inconsistent offense for Wisconsin. I think the Tar Heels move on there.
Villanova, I'm looking forward to that game.
It's going to be just a great matchup between a lot of bigs. Villanova Winthrop. I paused on this one. A game where I went back and forth. I've got Winthrop. I think this is going to be a trendy pick from Bracketeers. Winthrop hasn't really played a tough schedule, but as we know, Colin Gillespie is down for the season with a knee injury. I believe Villanova is dealing with their – I can't remember the other guy that they're dealing with that's down right now. But they're dealing with injury issues, and, I mean, they were on the verge of being a 2-seed. They're now a 5. So that could help them put a little chip on their shoulder. But I think Winthrop, they've proven the ability to win, and I could see a 12 over a 5 here. North Texas plays great defense. That should be a low scoring game against Purdue. I don't think they can match up with Trevion Williams. I think the Boilermakers move on. Texas Tech over Utah State. I saw you pick the Aggies. I think the Red Raiders are better than I've given them credit for. Looking back through their resume, I think they move on with Chris Beard and his. Obviously, they know how to win the tournament, making the title game 2 years ago. And then I've got a 14 over a 3. This is a huge difference between my bracket and yours. Colgate, the net rankings have been high on Colgate all year round. They haven't played as many games, which I actually think is an advantage to Colgate. They also have experience in the tournament. 2 years ago, they played a close game against Tennessee, who later beat Iowa. So I got Colgate over Arkansas. Arkansas is not underseeded. I mean, they're a 3 seed. So I think that Colgate pulls the upset, and then Florida over Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech was playing really good basketball late, and they've kind of been on a seesaw. They've dealt with a lot of injuries this year, including former Hawkeye Cordell Pemsel. I like the Gators there, and I don't think Ohio State has problems dispatching Oral Roberts. North Carolina Baylor in my round of 32. This is my first major, major upset. This is a tough one for me. God, I think Baylor could easily win the national title. I mean, again, this is the one-and-done tournament, so I could have them out in the second round, but I could also see them winning the whole thing. I just think if Roy Williams knows how to coach in March Madness, we know that.
Exactly, yeah.
If that size, if the big guys inside, trying to think of the guy who was a preseason ACC player of the year, and now I can't think of his name, but they've got like 3 or 4 – 6'10" or above guys who are really athletic. We saw them give Garza problems. And Baylor doesn't have a whole lot of size. So that will be interesting to see how the Bears handle the Tar Heels if that's the matchup. I don't think Winthrop can keep it going against a healthy Purdue squad. I think the Boilers, who also know how to play in the tournament, Matt Painter, wow, what a trip to a Sweet 16 that will be for him, for a team that wasn't expected to do much after losing a lot last year. Mm-hmm. I've got the Red Raiders beating Colgate. And then I've got Ohio State over Florida. Florida's playing with some momentum, I think, as well, and certainly some motivation after they lost their star player to that heart issue earlier this year. So I like the Buckeyes to move on. And I like Purdue. I mean, that's a weird matchup. North Carolina, Purdue in the Sweet 16, didn't expect to say that. So, again, it comes down to matchups. I never thought I would have predicted Purdue in the Elite Eight. But I think they've got what it takes with this draw. I think they've got an excellent draw if you look at it from the perspective of, Villanova's just not healthy as a 5 seed right now. So I like Purdue to move on, and they'll play Ohio State, who I think will take down the Red Raiders, and I like the Buckeyes to make a Final Four.
Okay.
Let's look at yours now, starting with 116.
Yeah, we're very similar there. So Baylor, obviously. Yep, North Carolina. Garrison Brooks, Daron Sharp, Leaky Black, they've got good players, and like you said, Roy Williams knows how to coach. I think they've looked shaky at times, but I think they're going to play like a 3 seed, not like an 8 seed. So, and then I think with Nova's injuries, it's still enough to get them that first round win, but then they'll lose to Purdue in the second round, and then I like Utah State in this one, and I don't think is necessarily expected. Like, if you look at it, it looks like Texas Tech should win. It's just one of those I have kind of a feeling about. And
I go with a hunch on bracket picks. I get you.
You do. And I like Arkansas. They went through, like, they lost 3 games in, like, January, and 3 out of 4. But since then, they got revenge on Alabama. Pretty much, they've been winning all their games until they lost a really
close one at Oklahoma State. I mean, Cade Cunningham won that game. I mean, that was a really hard fought ball game. And so, no, I agree. They earned the 3 seed.
Yeah. So I like Arkansas there. I like Florida over Virginia Tech. That one was tough. Those are kind of two teams that could have been better, maybe have been better in the past, but, and then Ohio State, really strong team, not getting knocked off there. And then I've got North Carolina and Purdue, just like you, although I've got North Carolina winning that game.
Wow.
And then Arkansas and Ohio State. And I've got Arkansas advancing. And that was
that one surprises me.
Was probably my toughest, like one of the toughest picks. I just feel like not a lot of people are giving Arkansas the respect that they deserve, and I don't know. It's tough. I mean, after what Ohio State did against Illinois, being down and then coming back, it shows you what they can do. But also at times they don't look good at all. So it really depends what Buckeye team you're going to get and what version of Dwayne Washington Jr. you're going to get. But I think he's probably the X factor there. But if Ohio State doesn't show up completely, I could see Arkansas winning. And then because of the draw, like if it's Baylor there, you know, like you say, Baylor can lose in the second round or they can win it all. If it's Baylor there, they probably advance to the Final Four. But because of what else I think could transpire there, Arkansas advances to the Final Four.
All right. You've got Arkansas and Iowa along with Texas, the Longhorn. So let's move down to the final region, the Midwest region, and we'll start with your bracket, 116 Illinois versus the Drexel Dragons.
So, yeah, Illinois, possibly the best team in the country, according to some people. I mean, they were the best team in the best conference, so, yeah.
And they've got the best draw, in my opinion.
Oh, easily, yeah. And then I think this Georgia Tech-Loyola game is going to be quite something because you've got Loyola with the recent success they've had, and, you know, they've still just Loyola in the tournament. It just feels like they're going to win. But Georgia Tech, you know, they did win their conference. They did. They knocked off Florida State. And I think that's a really quality win, and it just gives me some confidence in them going into that first round matchup, and I think Georgia Tech is going to come out on top. And then, Oregon State, you know, it's great that for them that they were able to knock off Oregon.
The numbers don't bear it out for the Beavers. I mean, they are not, they were very fortunate. They played well in the Pac-12 tournament. I'm with you. That's a great matchup if I'm Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, the Pac-12, winning the Pac-12 isn't as impressive as winning some conferences. So I don't think that's enough to, hey, it's great they got in the tournament, good for them, but yeah. Oklahoma State, Cade Cunningham, Liberty is a team that as a 12 seed has beaten 5 seeds in the past, but I think, you know, Cade Cunningham's been playing great. He's going to go to the NBA next year, but he's going to want to do as much as he can still in college with his team. So they're not going to be able to match up with Oklahoma State there. And then Syracuse, I'm a big fan of the Orange. I love Boeheim, his son Buddy Boeheim on the team. I feel like they're just built for tournament success as long as they can get in. And San Diego State, you know, last year they were undefeated for quite some time, and they still had a great year, but I don't think they're going to be able to get past Syracuse just because of the coaching and just the consistency they usually play with. West Virginia, not going to have any problems with Morehead State. I like Rutgers a lot. Rutgers was a top 10 team at one point. Ron Harper Jr. is one of my favorite players. I love in the Big Ten. I love how he plays. He's big, but he's athletic, and he can score from just about anywhere. And then Houston, it's like they had a pretty dominant win over Cincinnati, but it's just the quality wins aren't there for Houston.
I agree.
And I see Rutgers taking advantage of that, and this is where I think the Big Ten versus other conferences is going to come into play. I think Rutgers and Houston are going to be about even. Even though Rutgers is so low of a seed, just the way they've played in the Big Ten and all the teams they've had to go up against, and then you've got Houston, who really hasn't played much of anybody, and also Rutgers playing with the motivation of, you know, they should have made the tournament last year, they didn't. For some of these guys, the last opportunity, just as a program, they haven't been in the tournament in so long. I see them going to the Sweet 16, and I could see them even going further, but I just don't feel like there's enough. And this is West Virginia, just without really, without going through the picks, if you would have just said West Virginia is going to make the Elite Eight, I wouldn't have agreed with you necessarily. Yeah. But because this is the weakest quadrant, I think they get over Syracuse, and then they win a close one over Rutgers. And
but again, you look at West Virginia, they've got some really good wins, and they played really well against Gonzaga earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm. They do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is why they're going to make it all the way there. Probably Oklahoma State over Tennessee, Georgia Tech, not enough for Illinois. Oklahoma State, Illinois would be a fantastic game because I think Cade Cunningham would.
Yeah,
I don't want to say dominate. I don't want to say dominate, but I think Cade would get the better of the Sumo, and depending on what kind of a game Coburn has, and depending on what the Illinois bench does, I could see that going either way. But other than Oklahoma State, there is not a team in that quadrant that is going to beat Illinois and prevent them from going to the Final Four. There just isn't. I mean, they've got the weakest two seed. They've got.
I agree. Yeah, they've got the weakest two seed, and they've got a five seed that I'm not a believer in Jack Tennessee.
No.
So, yeah, I think that Oklahoma State game is the one everybody's got pegged.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, man, that'd be a great game. And I'd probably, I don't know, but then in my championship, I've got Iowa over Texas because at
you're jumping to the championship here, aren't you?
Oh, well, never mind. You still got to go with your.
You're all eager to crown the. You're all eager to crown Iowa as the. Hey, when I saw your picks this afternoon, I thought, well, we got a homer. That's okay. I'm a homer too. I understand the struggle. All right, let's go through my picks, and we'll head to the Final Four. I got Illinois over the Dragons. I don't think Drexel presents much of a challenge. I think Georgia Tech is playing. Well, obviously Loyola knows what it takes to get to the Final Four, but Georgia Tech is playing with emotion. They're playing with momentum, and they were already on the brink of making the NCAA tournament. So it's not like an Oregon State where they're kind of a bid stealer. I think they were going to get in probably regardless if they beat Florida State, and that was just a great win for them. Tennessee over Oregon State, I see that as I don't want to say a blowout. I don't know the nature game. I don't think it's any game that I expect to be a blowout other than maybe a couple of the 116-215 games. Oklahoma State, I've got over Liberty. People are high on Liberty. Again, I don't see the schedule. I thought Belmont honestly had a better resume than Liberty, and Belmont was left out of the tournament. So I got Oklahoma State advancing. I didn't think Syracuse deserved to get in, so I've got San Diego State. Is it Brian Dutcher? What's the San Diego State head coach? Dutcher. Here I'm about to compliment a head coach about how awesome he is in March, and I don't even know his name. As you look that up, we'll move on. But I got San Diego State. Brian Dutcher. West Virginia over Morehead State. I've got Rutgers over Clemson. Again, Clemson, a team that has an interesting resume, really flying under the radar. You talked about Arkansas earlier. Clemson, extremely far under the radar. I thought a little bit, maybe a little too high as far as the seeding, but I mean, they posted a really good ACC record. I've got Rutgers though. Like you mentioned, their athleticism, Ron Harper Jr. This is the first trip to the tournament in several decades.
Yeah.
Miles Johnson. They've got, Mathis Young. They've got just a lot of guys who are athletic and can defend. I think they're going to cause problems for Houston in that second round.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Houston will get past Cleveland State. I think Cleveland State's the weakest of the 4-15 seeds. I think the committee did some favors to the Cougars. I do think Rutgers will beat Houston. I see West Virginia taking down the Aztecs. They don't have the talent that San Diego State had last year. I've got Oklahoma State over Tennessee, and we'll get to see the Iowa Desumo-Cade Cunningham matchup because I think Georgia Tech's Cinderella story, if you want to call it that, through the conference tournament in the first round of the NCAAs will run out. I do think Io DeSumo and the Illini will get past the Cowboys. I see West Virginia. Again, I'm with you. I don't think West Virginia was a team that I would have pegged as a favorite to get to the Elite Eight. But given the draw, I like the Mountaineers' chances, and I do think Illinois takes down West Virginia. Illinois, to me, is a clear, clear favorite for a run to the Final Four. And I could argue that as a non-Iowa guy, I could say Gonzaga was the second biggest favorite, but I also think Purdue. I think Ohio State's got a decent route there. Obviously, Baylor. We both got Baylor losing earlier than most people would, but I think Illinois right now is a shoe-in for the Final Four, and that's probably not a good thing if you're an Illini fan. You probably don't want to hear that because these kids are humans and. You don't want it to get to their head, and I don't think it will. It's an experienced team. Let's look at the Final Four. We'll take a look at mine here first. Ohio State, Illinois. That's going to be a game. I mean, talk about a rematch of the Big Ten tournament. And Ohio State, I was starting to think they wouldn't turn it around. Their defense had suffered. It had actually fallen below Iowa's in defensive efficiency for the season. They have responded in a big way, won three games in the Big Ten tournament to make it to the championship game, nearly won the title. I think they're playing with house money as well, but I think Illinois' talent again is going to be a little bit too much, and their ability to defend will eventually separate them from the Buckeyes, and they've got a better chance of making the title game. And then Gonzaga, Texas, this is an easy one for me. I think Texas has come on strong. They've got size. They always have size. They always have athletes. But again, Drew Timmy, Corey Kispert, Joel Ayayi, Jalen Suggs, Nembhard. This is just a team with Watson. They've just got so many guys they can throw at you. And I think they're built for a March run. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's Iowa, Texas in the Final Four, or Iowa, Michigan. What if we saw Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State, Illinois in the Final Four? Wouldn't that be something?
I would love that. I mean, go Big Ten, man. But I think two teams are going to make it to the Final Four from the Big Ten. Because obviously there's the four you just said, but then you've got, Rutgers, Maryland, Purdue, Michigan State, and there's one more from the Big Ten.
Maryland?
No, I said them. I don't know, but yeah.
By the way, I've got Illinois. I went back and forth in this. In fact, I initially wrote down Illinois.
Wisconsin was the other. Wisconsin.
But I've got Illinois winning. This is going to be, I have no idea who would win a Gonzaga versus Illinois game. I have no idea.
That would be the best game of the year. That would be amazing.
So let's go to your Final Four. I've got, again, Illinois beating Gonzaga in the final round, 82-80. Let's go to your Final Four.
Yeah. Well, first of all, on our Sweet 16, so the last eight of the right side, or not the last eight, but where there's eight on the right side, are identical except for Arkansas, and you have Texas Tech there.
Yeah.
But
you're right.
We were thinking the same things there.
We are on that side of the bracket.
But yeah, again here, it's so hard as an Iowa fan because, I just start thinking of how they could possibly win this game. So I'm just like, oh, they could win this.
You're a homer.
And I think we're going to see the best basketball. I think we're going to see the best defense from them that we've seen because I just think they're going to be motivated. And
if they can defend Oregon, who is athletic, they're healthy now, and they're really good offense. I agree. They're going to be playing with a lot of confidence heading into the Sweet 16.
And I kind of just picked Virginia over Gonzaga so I could justify taking Iowa that far because I didn't want.
You didn't mention that when we went through that region initially.
I didn't. Well, I'm thinking I did that without even realizing it. But I can't pick Iowa over Gonzaga. But if they've already beaten Oregon or Kansas or USC or whatever. They've already won three games. The momentum of that, mixed with playing better defense. Yeah, sure, why not? But when I had Iowa in the Final Four, I'm like, well, all right, I've already taken them that far. Why am I going to pick against them now? So put them in that championship game. I've got I think Illinois is going to make the national championship no matter what. It just feels that way.
And then Iowa, Illinois.
And then a rematch. Iowa's not losing three times to Illinois. If they rematch in the national championship, those boys are not going to let that happen.
So Garza, national champion.
I'd love to see it.
Bohannon, Wieskamp, and boys bringing home the title. Eastern Iowa, represent. Muscatine, Cedar Rapids, Linmar.
Yeah. And Washington, D.C., but...
And Washington, D.C. Hey, I'd love to see it.
And Brooklyn, Joe Toussaint, the tough Brooklyn kid.
That's true. We got some East Coast boys on this team, and it'll be nice for Frank Henderson, Tony Perkins' uncle, to be he's an Indianapolis guy. He'll be at the games, I'm assuming. He was at the Big Ten tournament over the weekend, and I think obviously Luca Garza's dad. I would guess most of the family of these different players will be able to be there.
Yeah.
And they're not having to isolate necessarily in their hotel rooms like the players are. This week's going to be interesting. Grand Canyon can kind of prep for Iowa's size, as can Iowa. This will be fun. I mean, hey, I'd much rather your bracket play out than mine.
That's why I did it. It's like, hey, why not?
But listen, yeah. If Iowa gets to the Elite Eight like I'm predicting, listen, that's still a success to get to the Elite Eight for the first time in, what, 30, 40 years.
Yeah. And, hey, we didn't mention it. Shout out to Fran McCaffrey. He's the coach through 28.
Yep.
Got an extension this morning.
Today, and that was after the news that Archie Miller and Richard Pitino were both ousted from Indiana and Minnesota. And Penn State hiring Strawberry. What's his last name? New head coach for Penn State. Assistant from Purdue. I noticed that earlier today. I know you're looking it up, but definitely some coaching moves with three of the four teams that were left out, or three of the five teams that were left out of the tournament. And I don't think Chris Collins is in trouble, and neither is Fred Hoiberg, but certainly expectations are higher at some of these Big Ten schools that aren't living up to them right now.
Yeah, Micah Shrewsbury.
Shrewsbury, not Strawberry.
Not quite Strawberry. Looks like it, though. Shrewsbury. Definitely reminds me of it, yeah.
All right, and your final score, 82-79, Iowa over Illinois in the championship. And again, mine was close, 82-80. It is Illinois over Gonzaga in the title game. And those are our picks here at From the Hawkeye of the Storm. This is the Braddest Brand of Thoughts podcast. Jared, thank you for hopping on for the second straight day.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We will we'll have you on again sometime, and hopefully we're talking about Iowa and maybe in the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight.
Yeah, you'll have to have me on to preview that Final Four game that I was going to be playing in.
All right, I love the devotion, I love the loyalty to the Hawks, and we'll
gotta
see
own it at this point.
Grand Canyon first. That's the first one on the docket.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right, Jared. Have a good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. This has been Braddest Branded Thoughts, Week 153.